1-800-636-1067, the number on the MGM at National Harbor Listener Lines. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. Commanders, big time game coming up Sunday afternoon at home at Northwest Stadium, trying to get to 4-1 for the first time in 25 years, people. I mean, it's been a long time since Washington has started off this hot. Jaden Daniels, the quarterback, the talk of the NFL. Washington is the flavor of the week right now. I've been wrestling with it all week. Would I describe this weekend's contest as a trap game? Would I look at this weekend's contest and say, man, they're not going to win this one, right? SLS, Scorn, Lover, Syndrome. I have it. I got stage three, whatever you want to call it, SLS. Damn it. You got me choked up. I've been here before. How many times over the past 20 years have we watched this group finally look like, they're turning a corner, and then boom, they let you down. Hopefully Sunday against Cleveland is not one of those letdown games, or else we won't be the talk of the town anymore, I don't think. If they beat Cleveland, I might ask CK, can we like just get midnight shows every night? I got to be on every night. Seriously. If they beat Cleveland next week, heading in to that game against Baltimore, see, bedlam. People are not going to know how to act. And when I say people, I mean me and Max. I act a damn fool. And look, I've made jokes about our first-round corner from last year, Emmanuel Forbes, being a frequent visitor of U Street in Washington, D.C. Manny Forbes, you can go to U Street all the hell you want if y'all win Sunday. If y'all win Sunday, I'll meet you. I'll go half on you with the section. Manny Forbes, just kidding. I'm broke, you're rich. But I'll party with you. It feels like, man, two weeks ago, against Cincy, everybody picked us to lose. This week, when I watched the NFL.com stuff, they picked all of us to win. So I don't know how to feel. It's got trap game written all over it. But I do know this. I think if they do somehow lose this game, it won't be because they didn't play hard. It'll be because Cleveland was just more desperate. Because I, talent-wise, scheme-wise, it should be a rout. If you beat Arizona by 28, and Arizona's better than Cleveland, you beat Arizona by 28, you should beat Cleveland by 40. And we just know that's not possible in the NFL, but so many narratives can be turned the opposite direction on Sunday. The John Allen, Deron Payne thing, and about how they've stunk here in the first month. You play well against Cleveland, you sack Watson a couple of times, all of a sudden, we're not as loud, right? The criticism's not as loud. Wide receiver spot. No Noah Brown. So now the wide receiver spot is back to what it was on cutdown day when we were about to all have a conniption here locally, myself included. Can those guys continue to step up? And then to me, it's really all on five, man. And I hate doing it, putting all the pressure on the kid. Captain for the first time in his young career this week. It's all on him. It's all on his shoulders and on his legs. Can he continue to make good decisions down in and down out, even when they're giving them or they're trying to take away the deep stuff? Can you have the patience to go through your progressions and get the football out on time? Does Cliff Kingsbury have the patience to stick with the running game? All to be seen. All to be seen. One thing that's been a byproduct of Washington starting off 3-1 and Jaden Daniels being the bee's knees here through the first quarter of the season, national attention and then the respect of his peers. Micah Parsons of the Dallas Cowboys and Darius Slay of the Philadelphia Eagles, very complimentary of Commanders rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels this past week. Take a listen to what Slay and Micah had to say about JD5.
It seems like we got another threat in our division, bro. We got another threat, bro. I just can't believe this.
That boy nice.
He's serious.
That man. Mm.
Bro, he clicking. Over 80% completion rate, bro.
That boy's something else. Now, he ain't went to the hospital for nothing. And look, but Washington found the one. They found them one. But I like, God, I knew he was a guy, though. You know what I'm saying? I knew he was a guy. And he doing his thing.
Yeah, bro, I always say that, bro. If you could succeed at some level in college, especially like when you've been through adversity in college the way he did, like you got a bunch of like experience. Like he got a bunch of experience already coming in. Like he ain't coming in young. You feel me? Like he done seen a lot.
Facts. And he come from that SEC ball. We way better than the Penn State type of conference. Y'all, we got the conference y'all in. He in the SEC, so he playing good ball. Okay.
When the last time you heard opposing NFC East foes talk about our quarterback like that? Gets you excited. Gets you excited. Final hour of power coming up here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. Hopefully I got you home. Hopefully I got you to the liquor store and back home. You can pregame, get ready to go meet Emmanuel Forbes out on U Street. One final hour coming up next here on The Fan. Final hour of power coming up here on The Fan. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham, I'll take you up to 10 o'clock here on this Friday night edition of Overtime. Getting you ready for a big week number 5 in the National Football League, Commanders and Browns, Sunday, 1 o'clock p.m. from Northwest Stadium. Keep it locked here on The Fan all weekend long. In each and every Burgundy and Gold game day, we get started at 9 o'clock with Earl Forsey. We count down to kickoff. Myself, Dent Day, bring you the Burgundy and Gold pregame show as well as Burgundy and Gold in-game live. And then the DOC, Rick Doc Walker, after the final whistle, giving you the X's and O's breakdown in the Burgundy and Gold postgame show. So make sure you keep it locked right here on The Fan all weekend long for Burgundy and Gold game day. I, for one, have had a tremendous amount of fun doing the Burgundy and Gold in-game show. And me and Denton have, last year during that losing streak, good God almighty, could y'all imagine how difficult it was to do the show? Some of you are probably out there saying, what do you mean? You're getting paid to watch the game. Shut up. All right? I know. It's still miserable. It's still miserable.
Listen, man, getting paid to watch last year's games, I deserve a raise.
Enough.
You deserve a raise.
I'm about to say, they didn't pay us enough.
Yeah.
Good gracious. I kid. But just to have it go this way this time around has been awesome. Week one was tough. It stung. It feels like it was so far away. So long ago. So long ago. I don't know how I'm going to act the next time we lose.
If you told me, like, right after the Giants game that we would go be 2-0 in the next 2 weeks, I would not have believed you.
No, because they didn't even play that well against New York. They won. It felt good because it was the first one of the year. You, like, ripped off the Band-Aid, so to speak. But it wasn't a convincing effort by any stretch. Last 2 weeks, though, they've been more than convincing. They have flat-out showed that we are a force to be reckoned with. And look, I believe it. I think it's sustainable. I think this weekend, we see the defense, hopefully, take another step forward because this Browns offense is bad. So if you can't stop this group, who can you stop? Right now, though, while we got a little bit of time, the committee spent a lot of time together this week burning the midnight oil to put together the most highly anticipated power ranking segment in all of Sports Talk Radio. It is time for Nell's Super Six Pack, my top six teams in the NFL. Without further ado, honorable mention, not fly enough to get into the club, Seattle Seahawks, Buffalo Bills, Detroit Lions. Three teams that almost did enough last week to crack this list, but they're not. We can get the beautiful tunes of NFL films rocking Mad Max. We'll get this thing underway officially. It's a fluid list. It is ever-changing. And as the season rolls on, your favorite team might not make this list. Doesn't mean they're not a top six team. Just means I don't think they're that good. Here we go. Without further ado, number six in NFL Super Six Pack, my top six teams in the NFL. Coming in at number six, the Houston Texans squeaked by the Jacksonville Jaguars last weekend. Folks who cover the Texans said there was the worst atmosphere they had ever been a part in terms of a winning locker room. Texans felt like last week, yeah, we won, but it wasn't good enough. They got boat raced the week before by the Minnesota Vikings. I like the way they bounce back. Massive showdown coming up on Sunday against the Buffalo Bills. But right now, Stroud and the Texans coming at number six. Number five for me and Nell Super Six Pack, my top six teams in the National Football League, is the Detroit Lions. Now, I know I said the Lions weren't fly enough to get in the club, but I am editing my Super Six Pack on the fly. I had the Tampa Bay Bucks at number five. But after a loss last night, the committee had an impromptu meeting, and now Jared Goff and the Lions are in the five spot. Bucks go to not fly enough to get in the club. Lions, to me, health is their biggest thing. Once they can get completely healthy, I still think they are one of the juggernauts in the NFC. Big-time performance on Monday Night Football against Seattle. Jared Goff, damn near flawless in this one. I guess you could say he was flawless. 18 of 18, 292 yards, two touchdowns. Things I like, the other thing I like, rather, Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, putting their heads together. A little ground-and-pound football. They were awesome. Jameson Williams, once again, with another chunk play for 70 yards. And then defensively, Aiden Hutchinson, man possessed. Straight up. Him, Aleem McNeil, DJ Reader, slowly but surely that defensive front going to be viewed as one of the best in the National Football League. Aiden has been a man possessed, though. Lions come in for me at number five in Nell's Super Six Pack. Number four in Nell's Super Six Pack, my top six teams in the NFL. Kevin O'Connell and the Minnesota Vikings. Brian Flores, to me, is the front runner for coordinator of the year, him and Cliff Kingsbury. Kevin O'Connell, to me, for damn sure, the coach of the year to this point. Vikings have been tough. It's the best way I can describe it. And see, they're not your, you know, soft 4-0 team. They've got big wins over the Niners, Texans, Packers, all teams that we thought were going to make the playoffs this year. So Minnesota off to a hot, hot start. Sam Darnold playing as good a football as anybody in the NFL at the quarterback position. They go across the pond this week to take on the Jets over in London. I think it's a game they should win. Aaron Rodgers and company are going to be in hell dealing with a Brian Flores aggressive attacking defense. They're going to be calling for Devontae sooner rather than later. Vikings, though, coming at number four. Number three in Nell's Super Six Pack, top six teams in the NFL, a group up the road, the Baltimore Ravens. They beat the brakes off of the Buffalo Bills last weekend. It was enough to get them back in my Super Six Pack. Dominating win. Derrick Henry turning back the clock. Clearly looking like a running back that hadn't lost a step at all. Maybe, just maybe, he's reinvigorated playing with Lamar Action Jackson and company. Number two in Nell's Super Six Pack. And I'm going to catch some heat for this. I know. Number two in Nell's Super Six Pack, to me, San Francisco 49ers. What? The Niners? They choked against the Rams. Yes, they did. If you would have told me in August that Brock Purdy would be top five in the NFL in passing yards despite missing Christian McCaffrey, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, I would have told you you're tripping, bro. I think San Francisco deserves more credit for what they're doing because of their ability to overcome injuries, man. Their next stretch of ball, the next month plus for San Francisco, you're going to find out who the hell they really are. They got Arizona this week. They should get to 3-2. After that, at Seattle, home for Kansas City, home for Dallas, at Tampa, home for Seattle, at Green Bay, at Buffalo. Whew. You'll find out sooner rather than later whether or not the Niners are a contender or a pretender. To this point, because of their ability to overcome the injuries, they're still a contender. Number one in the Super Six Pack. Do I have to give much explanation? Pat Mahomes. Steve Spagnuolo. That's it. That's it. A match made in heaven. That's no Super Six Pack. My top six teams in the NFL. We'll run through it again. 6-1. Texans coming at 6. Lions 5. Vikings 4. Ravens 3. Niners 2, Chiefs 1. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, I'll give you a bold prediction and an official game pick for Commanders and Browns coming up Sunday. That's next on The Fan. 1-800-636-1067. Number on the MGM and National Harbor Lister lines. You can tweet at me as well. that NELL underscore BTP. A lot to get to before we get out of here. Let's hear from the head coach of the Washington Commanders. Like, going into Sunday, I just feel like going into Sunday, there's so much to be excited about. So much to get up about. So much to be eager about. And I've said it all show long. I felt it all week. It has trap game written all over it. Close to we get to Sunday, more and more I feel like this isn't going to be a trap game and the fellas are going to handle their business. They hear all the noise. They know the narrative surrounding this franchise. They get it. They ain't new to this. They true to this. So I just happen to think that they got the right mix of people in the building to where trap games are going to not be or going to be a thing of the past here. I know Jaden Daniels ain't acting funny. I know he's still showing up 5:30 in the morning. Just crust still in his eyes, ready to break down the tape. I ain't mad at it. See, it's that mentality, that standard. When you do stuff like that, right, and you're one of his teammates, and you see the work he puts in, and then you see the results of the work, it encourages you to keep going harder. That's where I think Washington stands right now when it comes to what they're doing right now. Big part of Washington's success this year has been their offensive line. Here is Commanders head coach Dan Quinn talking about the offensive line cohesion of the Washington Commanders. Dan Quinn, to me, always insightful at the podium, continuing to say, hey, look, not perfect, 3-1, not a finished product by any stretch, but we're a group going in the right direction. We're a group that's got confidence. We're a group that feels like each and every Sunday that we step on the field, we'll have an opportunity. Dan Quinn talking about the offensive line cohesion here in Washington.
I'd probably say there's a combination of both, Nikki, and the reason I say that, in the training camp, obviously the three interior guys got most of their work together, and then Brandon and Wiley were walkthroughs and that. So to see them just spend this much time together in the meeting rooms early, they really have a good connection. So if it's during special teams, they're together. So just I think it's the amount of hours that those guys have spent together. Obviously, the work on the practice field, there's nothing that takes that place. But I do think there's a combination of both on and off the field. And examples of like last week, you know, of being together that long, going through stuff again, like all those things help.
You spend time with guys, you start to like each other, and you play better together. Isn't that an interesting concept? Love it. Love it. But like I continue to say, this was evident back in training camp. And I credit Jaden Daniels for being a big part of this because of his ability early on in camp to blur that line, so to speak, between offense and defense. Because after big plays, he's running over to the defensive side of the field, talking to Bobby Wagner, talking to Quan Martin, talking to John Allen, Payne, Coach Norton. So I just think five might be the immovable force that makes the world go around here in D.C. Seriously. Dan Quinn, speaking to the media earlier today, talked about the O-line coach, Bobby Johnson, and I feel like he is a guy that is a little bit unheralded. Coming over from New York, we know their O-line's been over the past several years. I didn't have high expectations for him. I actually questioned the hire when it happened, despite us being at the mercy of the evaluator. Here is Dan Quinn talking about the importance of offensive line coach Bobby Johnson here the first month.
Coming into it, wanted somebody that was an excellent teacher. And I think at that position, Nikki, like that's where a lot of development takes place. You're coaching a lot of guys and the development of that position, it's not like just, you know, add water and play. And so I thought that's, you know, was the first criteria. We looked at a number of guys, and one of the strongest recommendations was from a friend, Brian Daboll, who had worked together both in Buffalo and New York. And I really, you know, I've known Brian for a long time. And like any job, when you're looking for, you want to you know, ask as many people as you can. And what really came through for me was strong was like the teaching, you know, that part of things. And that was really important to me. And so I've really been impressed by the work that he's done so far. I love the connection with him, Darnell Stapleton, who I actually had as a Bill Walsh fellow to work with when I was in Atlanta. So I've like, you know, you keep somebody in your mind and okay, if there was a chance, you know, he's somebody I want to add. And Shane has done a good job here too. So the three of them have a nice blend. You know, they're not all the same. And so they kind of balance, you know, each other out in different ways. So
Dan Quinn talking about the teaching from Bobby Johnson. That to me has been clearly evident with a guy like Brandon Coleman, who played a lot at TCU, but I played a lot of different positions. Spent time at guard, tackle, both tackles, both guards. So for him to come in and have the success he's having, someone's got to get the credit for it on the coaching staff. Not giving them all the credit, but the teaching definitely a big part of what's been able to happen here with this offensive line. And when I think about the numbers up front with the offensive line, I guess I would put it this way. They were a highly scrutinized group coming into the summer. But I think I had more questions than concerns about the offensive line. There were more questions than legitimate concerns. And the questions to this point have been thoroughly answered. Andrew Wiley, to me, has probably been one of the most unsung guys on this entire team this year in terms of his play and not sticking out like a bat, like a sore thumb. Right now they've got here the offensive tackle pass block win rate, via ESPN. Andrew Wiley, 19th in the NFL. Not bad. Not bad. Now, for Washington offensively to continue to keep protecting Jaden Daniels, the play calling's got to stay the same. Bold prediction here real quick, and it has something to do with the play calling. Washington, last week, in their win over the Arizona Cardinals, textbook exotic smash mouth football, vintage exotic smash mouth football. The Commanders last week, 37 carries, 216 yards on the ground. In the game Sunday against Cleveland, my bold prediction, Washington rushes for 300 yards on Sunday. Yeah. Well, it's about bold and declarations. You get Brian Robinson back. You get Austin Eckler back. Jeremy McNichol should be up. Five's going to get in on the running party. My prediction for Sunday, Washington runs for 300 yards offensively. How's that for exotic smash mouth football? Score prediction. If they don't run for 300 yards, you'll probably think they're scoring a lot of points, huh? They are. They'll score some points. I think Washington wins on Sunday by a score of 31-20. I think they give up 20 to the Browns. Browns cracked 20 first time this season. But I think Washington does their damnedest to handle business. 31-20 Washington win, 300 yards of rushing offense. I think they get busy on Cleveland, man. And I'm nervous saying it, I'll be honest. I don't say it with my chest poked out. But I say that because it's a scenario that I can see. I know, especially to try to slow down their pass rush. Quick game, running the football, staying ahead of the chains. The most important aspects offensively. Don't shoot yourselves in the foot. No pre-snap penalties. Don't get yourself in third and long. Stay ahead of the chains and you'll have a shot. Because Cleveland's okay on defense. They're nothing to write home about offensively. Realistically, how many points do they need to win on Sunday? 20? Browns haven't sniffed 20 all year. I think they get to 31. I think it's a big Brian Robinson day. I think Austin Eckler pops a big run. And I think Jaden Daniels gives the FedEx. Wow. Darn it. Wash my mouth out with soap. The Northwest faithful.
You almost made a whole show.
Almost made a whole show without saying the old sponsor. Northwest Stadium should be bumping on Sunday. The environment I'm ready for. I just hope the team plays up to it. 1-800-636-1067. Take a deeper look at Commanders and Browns coming up Sunday with David Harrison next.